today's show, Tom Hart from ESPN will join us to talk about last night's Arkansas-Tennessee baseball game at Baumwalker Stadium. Ethan Westerman also in studio to talk about the start of this afternoon's NCAA Fayetteville Softball Regional over at Bogle Park. But first, a word from Kendall King.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our Hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services, through in-store signing and displays, and finally, to social influence, we've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kendall King, Shopcart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win, and we'll be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
You know, for my money, the best college baseball play-by-play guy is Tom Hart on TV, and he is in Fayetteville this weekend calling these games for ESPN, SEC Network. He joins us this morning. Tom, I know you're out on the golf course somewhere. Appreciate you taking time between tee shots to do this.
I'm happy to join you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm sorry I'm not holed up in my hotel room and can't give it 100% focus like it deserves.
I was going to say, if you were here in your hotel, I was going to have you come down to the studio like you do at Texags over in College Station. Maybe next time. Hey, what did you think of the game last night?
It was about what I expected. I think the biggest surprise for me was the fact that, and this is kind of from a Tennessee perspective, so I apologize, but Marcus Phillips had been atrocious at holding runners on. Mm-hmm. And the leap that he made from last week to this week was nothing short of astounding. Now, it didn't really play into Arkansas's game plan as well as it did Vanderbilt's last week because, you know, as we know, Arkansas is not a hyper-running team like Oklahoma or Vanderbilt or Kentucky. But I thought his ability to control the run game was a big part of it. And I think Tennessee's a really talented team that they're 20-0 start. They're the last team to lose a game in college baseball this year. I think that masks a lot of inefficiencies because they're not the same team that we've seen the last few years. The home run totals may suggest otherwise, but I'm still not sold on that. But yeah, I mean, I know it was Thursday, but it felt like a Friday night in the SEC. Really well pitched.
You know, Tennessee, they're the reigning national champions. They've still got players on that team, obviously, who were on that team. It just felt like last night there was a response from Tennessee that looked like a championship team.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I think that's a great way to just summarize it. They are, and everybody knows who their head coach is, they are hyper-competitive, and they follow his lead. And there's nothing wrong with that. They've had some inefficiencies this year, and we saw it a couple times from a fielding perspective. I mean, Arkansas is an elite fielding team. Tennessee is certainly not. But they kind of found a way to battle through their mistakes last night. And I think that is about competition and being a team that knows how to compete. You don't win a national title if you don't have that culture and know how to be competitive day in and day out.
You mentioned Phillips and obviously, he was aware of the run game last night. What did you guys count, like 21, 22 pickoff throws with him?
Yeah. Kyle Peterson had 20 at one point. He's officially in charge of counting those. I lay out. And I think he ended up with 21. Now, well, I had his game last week against Vanderbilt, and he picked maybe a third as many times. And two of those times where he tried to do so, he threw it away and gave up extra bases. Mm. I mean, last week, Vanderbilt against Marcus Phillips, the first batter of the game, was hit by a pitch, stole second, stole third. And they were off and running. And they stole, I think they ended up with 10 bags on the night, and they're successful in the first 8 attempts against Phillips. It has been a real problem. So it feels like he fixed it. And I think you could say this about any team's number two in the SEC. We all know what aces are capable of. They've earned that spot in the rotation. If you're a Friday night guy in the SEC, you're probably a first rounder, give or take. Postseason success, in my mind, usually hinges on the ability of your number two starter to rise to the occasion and pitch almost like an ace. Like he's got to be dependable. And I think that's what, you know, he took a big step forward in that regard last night.
You know, the well, we'll just say the SEC, because the SEC is at the top of college baseball. But the top of the SEC this year, Dom, has been so hard to figure out. Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah.
Arkansas, I really can't get a feel for how I feel about this team. You know, they come out of LSU, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, they played two of three pretty good against LSU, and then they turn around. I didn't think they played real well last night. I know they had a lot of hits, but it just never felt like they were really in control of that game. Then you look at what happened with LSU, losing to South Carolina. I thought LSU would go to South Carolina and sweep based on the way those two teams have been playing. It just feels like the top of college baseball this year is as hard to get a read on as I can ever remember.
I agree with you, and I think the reason for that is because of the elite play within this league alone. Yes, Oregon State has been in the top 10. Oregon had a big win last night. They're fifth in the country. And there's some ACC teams scattered. But to me, it's kind of like SEC football. You are battling every week. Missouri and South Carolina. A winnable game, or even a, you know, good teams can win on bad nights. And that's always been the case in this league. I don't think that's the case anymore, because unless you're facing one of those three bad teams, and I reluctantly put A&M in the category, you can't survive with an off night. You have to play at your best each and every night to win.
Where are we playing golf today?
We're at a little pool called Fayetteville Country Club. It's okay. Very nice. Will Roth is our host today.
Okay.
A great, great representative for the University of Arkansas. And it's only blowing about 120 miles an hour on the top of this mountain.
Yeah, well, I could hear the wind. I knew you had to be on top of a mountain somewhere. You may have some storms rolling in. Tell Will I said hi. Will and I went to college together. Hey, tonight, what do you think about this matchup? Arkansas said they're going to start Aiden Jimenez. Tennessee obviously going to start Liam Doyle. Is there concern from Tennessee's standpoint with Doyle and this blister that he's been pitching with?
Well, tell me about Jimenez. That caught me by surprise when I saw that news last night, the decision there. What do you think that's about?
Well, I think that, you know, he was going to be the starter at Oregon State last year. He's going to be a number two starter at Oregon State. And, of course, he's been coming back from Tommy John. I think that, you know, with Parker Coyle being out for the Razorbacks over the last few weeks, they needed somebody they could turn to in the bullpen and go give them two or three innings. And I think that that's what, you know, Jimenez has been. That guy for Arkansas. And I kind of think that with Coyle being back in the fold, I think now maybe it makes him a little bit more comfortable with taking Jimenez out of that bullpen role. I don't think they could keep throwing Landon Beidelschies out there as a starter with the way the starts have been going for him the last several weeks.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much confidence in Landon based on, you know, kind of not specifically talking to the coaching staff about him, but how they are managing their rotation and the bullpen in that regard. Yeah, Liam Doyle is legit. I mean, last check, he was leading country in strikeouts. You know, the blister has been an issue for him all season. Last week against Vandy, it came up in his last inning of work, and he probably wasn't going to go back out for the eighth anyway. Well, he wasn't going to. So it wasn't prohibitive. But for a guy who throws as hard as he does, and he's a little unconventional with his arm slot, it results, you know, I think it's a concern for Tennessee long-term, because he's got to pitch like an ace for them to have postseason success. Whether or not it's an issue tonight, we'll see. You know, and I think that whether it's dry out or there's some moisture in the air, all of that could impact whether or not it's an issue going forward and will be. But man, he's fun to watch if you don't have a rooting interest. And especially if you look at what we call the back of the baseball card, because here's a guy who was very lightly recruited out of New England, ends up at Coastal Carolina, pitches okay, gets an opportunity to go to Ole Miss. No pitches well, but walk numbers are high. He's pitching like a typical power arm. And now this year, He really dedicated himself in the weight room. And a great example for young players and pitchers. Like, if your stamina isn't good enough to get you through games, you're not going to be effective. You're not going to realize your potential. And I that, and he's made himself, well, he didn't already get paid. He's made himself a lot of money in that regard. And I mean, he's going to be a top five pick, and deservedly so based on the numbers that he's put up.
You mentioned SEC baseball, kind of like SEC football. It gives you some pretty good visuals on the TV, right? I mean, I was kind of side-eyeing your broadcast last night. I thought you guys did a great job of just kind of giving a feel of what it felt like inside the ballpark.
There's no better place than Baum Walker. And I, at the risk of upsetting other fan bases, I'm not saying it's absolutely the best, but there's no place better. And we had a long chat with DBH before the game just about the passion of this fan base. And, you know, it's real, and you don't create that environment without people caring and without it having been an important part of this area for a long time. And we appreciate it so much. You know, I'm so lucky to do what I do, and whether that's Saturday night in SEC football stadiums or going to a packed house for a big baseball series with top 20 series. I'm constantly amazed and appreciative of the casual fans in my circle, casual sports fans. Use my brother-in-law as an example. My brother-in-law texted me a few years ago. I think Mississippi State was playing Notre Dame in a Super. And here's a guy who's never been to Starkville, Mississippi. All he knows is what he's seeing on TV with that packed house. He texts me, man, Starkville's got to be the coolest place on earth right now. And I don't know that sentence had ever been uttered, right? Respectfully. But it really delivers from a TV perspective, and it's easy to see, you know, why enrollment is up at all these schools and why people want to come out and be a part of it from a communal aspect. And I just appreciate the fact that I get a front row seat at a lot of these spots.
I tell you what you do well, Tom. You always know the place to go inside these SEC towns. Yeah, I mean, you know Dixon, you know Northgate, you know the Cotton District, Broadway, 6th Street, whatever it might be. Is that learned or is that something that is lived?
Lived, yeah. I mean, there may have been a time or two where I referenced a place that I hadn't darkened the door, but most of the places I've been to. Because, listen, that's one of the really cool parts about my job. I have friends that travel in the fall to follow their favorite college football team. And, in fact, I got a text from a Mizzou buddy last week, and he said, going to Auburn, probably going to stay at the Atlanta Hotel, drive down day of game. And I said, are you crazy? You know, pay the money for a hotel room. Go experience it. Like, this is what it's all about. I understand the 3.5 hours of the football games is important, and it's fun, and it's, you know, stressful. But I get to go to these places, but I don't want to sit in my hotel room. I want to get out and see the color and the vibrancy and the nightlife, and I'm lucky that I get to do that. So, and by the way, you run into great people when you do that. You know what I mean? Like, you learn what makes a community tick. You learn what they're passionate about, what they care about in the moment. And I think that's important for us to be familiar with, because sometimes, and Chris Burke and I were just talking about this, sometimes in whatever you do for a living, you can get caught in a bubble and only think about your own perspective. And I think it's important, no matter what you're doing, to take in other perspectives and to see it through other people's eyes.
Tom, you do a great job. Hopefully you'll give us your golf result tonight on the broadcast.
Well, you were with me for my best drive of the day just now, so I appreciate that.
It's awesome.
I don't want to talk too much about my game tonight, but I might make fun of Berkey's game. So, oh, and by the way, the game is now on SEC Network. It was scheduled to be on ESPN Plus.
Okay.
Something got moved. Somebody got rained out. So glad to be on what we call linear television tonight.
Breaking news, Arkansas on SEC Network tonight. Tom, we appreciate your time.
There you go. At any time. Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll see you later. Tom Hart of ESPN. When we come back, Ethan Westerman's going to be in studio. We'll talk Razorback baseball some more and Razorback softball. But first, a word from Kendall King.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and Shopcart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
You know, I don't know if I would say it's concern about Arkansas baseball, but there was an element of the play last night that I just didn't think was very good. And, you know, when you think about that, Tennessee was holding Liam Doyle for game two. Bubba and I talked about this yesterday on the show, that yesterday felt like a – or last night felt like a – I don't know if I'd say must win, but it was a need to win. It was a you put yourself in good position if you can win that game, because now – you got to face the SEC's best pitcher, arguably, tonight with Tennessee with a 1-0 lead in the series. Doesn't mean Arkansas can't win, but certainly they put themselves behind the eight ball. I thought the most disappointing aspect of last night's game, Ethan, was that Zach Root, who 2 weeks ago on the same mound threw 8 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts against Texas, and then last week he had a pretty good outing down in Baton Rouge, he reverted back to the Zach Root that we saw, I think, too often in the middle of SEC play, where it's going okay for him, and then there is this inning that he just can't get out of. And Tennessee is a good lineup. They've got a lot to do with this. But as the number one starter, you've got to be able to limit these 30-plus pitch innings. Last night he throws 31 pitches in the first 3 innings. And then the fourth inning comes along, a 37-pitch inning, and he only records 2 outs. You've got to be able to not get yourself into those kinds of jams. And we've just seen it too often this year from a pitcher who, A, we know he's got good stuff because we've seen him show it. And B, you're the number one guy. If you set the tone for the weekend as the number one, you know, the fact that he's having these types of struggles this late in the season, and the fact that it's happened, you know, multiple times, that's a concern.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that anybody would say starting pitching is like what care. Like at this time of year, like you have to have good starting pitching, and I think that's what's concerning. Is it's if you're not getting that right now, you can't hold your breath that you're gonna get it. If that makes sense. Like we're this far into the year, so yeah, it's not ideal to more than double your your previous pitch count in one inning. So it's one of those deals. You know, I'm looking at this season. I'm like, man, you. I hate playing the theoretical game of, like, well, taking wins away from a team or, like, turning losses into, well, what if those are wins? But, like, right now you look at it, you're like, if they didn't have that Texas series sweep, the vibes would – I mean, it's not like the vibes are great right now, but they certainly wouldn't be good without that series sweep. So, you know, you just wonder how you've seen some of the Arkansas teams do this in the past where you have your concerns about them going into postseason play, and then all of a sudden they're, like, kind of a different team. You just – I don't know. It's – but – you got to get better starting pitching.
You know, I mean, with Root last night, he had so many chances to get out of that inning without it being a terrible inning. I mean, his pitch count got up, but Levi Clark, pinch hitter, comes in, 3-2 pitch, walks him after Root had gotten ahead in the count. He had gotten ahead 1-2 in the count, and then you know, you've got Manny Marin, 3-2 count, hits a 2-run single. You get to Gavin Killeen, get him to a 2-2 count. He hits a 2-out single. And, I mean, these are backbreakers to me. And it was only a 3-2 and then a 4-2 game on those hits. But that felt like a very pivotal point in last night's game. I thought that there were 3 pretty pivotal points in the game, maybe 4. Second inning, Arkansas gets the big 2-out double from Charles Davelin. Looks like it's going to clear the bases. And then Reese Robinette gets thrown out at home plate. I'm not convinced he was out. I just don't think they had a good replay, a good enough replay view to overrule what had been called on the field. So instead of 3-1, it's 2-1 there. Seventh inning, you've got the double play that Arkansas can't turn because Cam Kozel throws the ball too high to first base. Next guy comes up, and he hits a 2-run home run where it could have been a solo home run. And so right there, you know, I mean, you've got at that point after that half inning, it's 7-3. It could easily be 6-4, and that totally changes the way the game feels. And, you know, Arkansas, they left runners on base. They, you know, and then obviously that point there where Root couldn't get out of the inning with two strikes and two outs and three consecutive at bats. Tennessee outplayed Arkansas, and that's the bottom line. And now Arkansas, they gotta reach down deep and find something tonight to be able to even this series and get it to 2-1 tomorrow, because that SEC race, it's over at the top. Texas won the title last night. I don't know. Did you see how LSU lost?
I did not.
Well, they lost to South Carolina, which
It's
bad enough in the first place. LSU, they got this incredible play from Bear Jones at first base to snag what looked like was going to be the game-winning hit. And so now they got runners on the corners with two outs, South Carolina does. Intentionally walk a batter from South Carolina, and then LSU with their best closer, Zach Cohen, on the mound, throws a wild pitch with the bases loaded, and South Carolina wins it. And so with LSU losing and Arkansas losing and Texas beating Oklahoma, Texas won the SEC outright. But that battle for the top, or for seeds 2, 3, and 4 in Hoover, with the results here and the results elsewhere last night, some teams winning, that got a lot tighter. And now Arkansas, you know, if they want that double bye in Hoover, they've got to play well the rest of this weekend.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what's, like you said, with how yesterday kind of felt like, you know, nothing right now, until you get into postseason play and your season is on the line, nothing is a must win. I kind of hate, or unless you're like a bubble team and you know that, you know, you got to win a game. But like for a team like Arkansas that knows they're going to be in the tournament, I hate saying like must win, but like yesterday's game, because of what you said about trying to get that double bye, kind of felt like, because now you go into today, like you said, facing Doyle, and I don't think anybody truthfully like feels great about Arkansas's odds today against him, but maybe they'll surprise. But still, it is one of those deals where I feel like yesterday was kind of a, it's not a must win, but sure would help if you did type of win. And I don't know. It's just, I kind of was off and on watching the game while doing some softball preview stuff, and I just felt like, you know, there were a lot of unlucky breaks for Arkansas in that game. I mean, I saw this thing that something was ruled a catch that just wasn't.
That was actually a break for Arkansas, because had Jeff Head, the second base umpire, had he ruled that correctly, which was that the shortstop, Antigua, did not catch it, Arkansas gets doubled up there, because what happens is it's this hot shot right at the shortstop. Both of the runners, you know, I mean, it looks like it's going to go into left field. And so both of them got so far off the bag that he would have been able to double up the runners trying to retreat.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I guess he would have thrown to third and got that guy, and then they probably could have gone back to one of the other bases and got another one.
Well, regardless, there was a bunch of weird, crazy breaks for either way, like yesterday. And I just think that you get in a point in the season where it's like you got to create some of your own breaks too. Like you said, like the not being able to turn a double play, the getting thrown out at home. I just think that you're at that time of year where you kind of got to create some of your own breaks. And, you know, unlucky things happen in baseball, softball, any sport like that. I mean, it's just, you always see crazy stuff that happens, and there's validity to like some, like the first game that Arkansas softball lost to Oklahoma, it all went downhill on like a swinging bunt on accident that like there was no way to field it. It's just like things like that will happen, but at times you got to create some of your own breaks too, and you can't at this time of year be giving away runs or giving extra strikes, extra outs.
You know, in addition to those two pivotal plays that, you know, like I said, it was a +2 margin for Tennessee. They hit home runs. Neither team hit well with runners on base last night. I mean, Arkansas was 8-for-25. Tennessee was 6-for-24 with runners in scoring position. Arkansas was 3-for-14. Tennessee was 3-for-10. Arkansas stranded 12. Tennessee stranded 11. So, you know, for as frustrated as you can be about the way Arkansas hit with runners on base last night, Tennessee has got the exact same gripe this morning. The home runs make a difference. And, you know, Tennessee hit them. Arkansas didn't hit one. I think it's the third game in a row Arkansas hasn't hit a home run, which is kind of surprising. And the other thing I noticed about Arkansas, it just, there were too many times last night where the rally began with two outs. And that makes it really it's hard to string together three or four guys getting on base in a row with two outs. They got to be able to find a way to start those rallies earlier in the innings.
Yeah, and I mean, that's – because once you, I mean, two out rallies are great. All coaches love them because it shows that you're staying alive. But like, if that's how they always start, you're not giving yourself much room to, you know, like a with two outs, a sac fly deep in center field doesn't do anything for you. Like, yeah, the inning's over. Like, I don't know. It's just, if you can get stuff started early in an inning, I mean, this is just duh baseball knowledge, but like, it's better to get your offense going with no outs or one out.
I thought Tony Vitello managed the game really well last night, bringing in left-handers against left-handers. One out, we're going to move to the right-hander. He gets one out, and it was, you know, it was not beautifully pitched by any stretch of the imagination, but some of those relievers who were brought in and they knew that, hey, you got this guy, they did a good job last night. And like I said, Tennessee, they outplayed Arkansas. I thought it just felt like there was a lot of, maybe I'm wrong about this, but it just felt like there was a lot of nervous energy in the ballpark last night. Like, I don't know. It was a weird feeling. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, and the thing is, they've been pretty good at home this year too. So
30-4.
Yeah, if you're an Arkansas fan, you hope that it's just a one off night type deal, and they come back today and they look like, you know, the team that they were against Texas the last time they were at home.
Well, here's the thing on Doyle. No pitcher is invincible. He's had some outings this year where it didn't go so good for him. I think he gave up 6 runs against Alabama, 5 runs against South Carolina. Both of those were on the road. If you look at his numbers this year, he's been much better in Knoxville than he has been on the road. But what he gives them, it feels like every outing, is it gives them length. I mean, you look over the last several weeks, take the Auburn weekend out of the equation because they mismanaged that totally with the rain. But against Vanderbilt last week, he gave them 7. Against LSU, a couple, 3 weeks ago, gave them 6 2/3. Against Kentucky, 7. At Ole Miss, 8 1/3. Against A&M, 6 innings. I mean, he has been really good about going deep into games. The concern, if there is one for him this week, is this blister that he's been pitching with. Because that can – he's been pitching through it, which a lot of times when you see a pitcher have a blister, they come out of the game and they're going to get that thing taken care of. The fact that he's pitching through it and it's throwing bloody baseballs to the mound or to the plate, that's different about him. But I'm interested to see how this blister thing goes, because I think that, as much as keeping him on his normal rest pattern, is one of the reasons why he was held for game 2.
Yeah, and the way it's all shaken out, though, you know, you talked about nervous energy in the ballpark, and anytime you have a guy like him who's as tall as that, like, I think there's going to be nervous energy to start off, at least by fans. Like, but I think that Arkansas, you can, like you said, no pitcher's invincible. If you attack a guy like that early and create some momentum early, that's how you get that nervous energy out of the ballpark and kind of put today behind, or yesterday behind you. I guess it was today for you.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know where I am right now. I'm so tired after all of that last night. One thing Arkansas has done a good job of the last few weeks is that against the opposing team's ace, whether it be Liam Peterson at Florida or Ruger Riojas at Texas, or last week with Cade Anderson at LSU, is that they've gotten their pitch count up, but they haven't been able against any of those three to deliver that knockout blow. And so that's what I'm looking for tonight. Are they able to get – I don't have any doubt they're going to be able to work Doyle's pitch count. I would be very surprised if they're not. But are they able to knock – like deliver that knockout blow? They were able to against Riojas. I should go back and say that. They were able to against him. But against Liam Peterson and against Cade Anderson, they just couldn't – they couldn't get him out of the game.
Yeah, and you got to do that at some point where you got to – yeah – It's such a defeating thing if somebody's number one guy, you see him get a knockout blow delivered. I think it just changes the whole morale of the opposing team, you know, for the rest of the game, because that's their guy.
Arkansas is going to throw Aiden Jimenez tonight. I've been waiting for him to get into the starting rotation. I kind of think that maybe the reason he hasn't been a starter was because he was so valuable to them in the bullpen, that he was the guy when Parker Coyle went out that you went to get you 2 or 3 innings in a really critical moment. And now that Coyle is back, I wonder if that makes it a little bit easier for them to say, okay, let's see what you got. Jimenez was going to be the number 2 starter last year at Oregon State behind Aiden May, and Aiden May was a heck of a pitcher. Oregon State, obviously a great program, had the Tommy John surgery, been used only in relief this year. So we're going to see him in a starting role tonight, a very difficult starting role, a game Arkansas needs to win if it wants to win the series. And obviously he's going to be having to have his best stuff, because you know who's on the other side for Tennessee. So Aiden Jimenez and Liam Doyle tonight, Baumwalker Stadium, 6:30 first pitch. Game's going to be streamed on SEC Network Plus. I want to tell you, you can get the latest on Razorback Sports at wholehogsports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. I want to tell you, too, about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Razorback Softball Regional begins this afternoon over at Bogle Park. First game is going to be at 3 o'clock, am I right? Oklahoma State and Indiana, and then the game that everybody's going to be there for tonight, Razorbacks hosting St. Louis with a first pitch scheduled for 5:30.
Yep. It's crazy that it's already here. I mean, I feel like I say that every single year, but it does sneak up on you, especially, you know, with kind of the way that baseball and softball are staggered. You know, I traditionally think of postseason play and your mind gets taken to June right away, and it starts, you know, in May, and for softball it's mid-May, and it's just crazy that it's already here. Fifth year in a row they're hosting softball here. I told somebody yesterday, I said, I feel like I've reached that point where it's like I am, you know, we all know that family that goes to Disney World every year and they walk in and they know exactly where to go, they know how it goes, they're walking around just been there, done that. That's where I'm at with these home regionals, because between baseball and softball, I'm like, it feels like they're always at home, and it's always like kind of run the same way with the same schedule. It was just yesterday, it was kind of, you know, let's just do the same thing we've done for 5 years in a row now. It's the same schedule, same setup, doing it all over again. It was a, you know, pretty repetitive process, I feel like, at this point.
That's how I feel when I go to Dallas. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do this. I know I'm going to go down this road.
Yeah. And let me tell you, I love these home softball regionals as somebody who is not doing, I feel bad for the event management people, because there's a lot that goes into making sure that things are going right. I'm just one going around going to the things. You get your steps in at these two, let me tell you. Like, my Apple Watch is so pleased with me because I'm walking from the press box to the field to the press conference area to the practice basketball facility where they do interviews. I mean, it is just, it's a lot of walking, but it's here. I'm excited. It's a pretty intriguing regional. I think most people would agree that it's one of the most intriguing regionals in the nation. Has three power programs in there, so.
The one thing you always have to watch at these regionals is the weather. There is a little bit of a chance for rain this afternoon. It's going to clear out of here by later in the day, but just in terms of if the games are able to start on time, that's something worth watching. Yeah, 40% chance of the thunderstorms today in Fayetteville, and then beginning tomorrow night and into Sunday, thunderstorms are going to be likely. So this is, you talking about the people who have the headaches, you know, making this thing try to go along without a hitch. That's a factor.
Yeah, for sure. And it's knock on wood that it doesn't happen, because if you look at the whole regional, which this is how it works most of the time, that all these regionals are hosted in the South, like Oklahoma all the way over to, like, you know, yeah, to the East Coast. And everybody's like, oh, wait, are we going to get an NCAA regional weekend where there's not really any weather concerns anywhere?
And highly unlikely.
And that's what it looked like for a second, though. Most people were like, it looks like it's going to happen. But Mother Nature always has the last laugh, I feel like. And it's becoming increasingly more likely. So, you know, holding our breath that these regionals will go on just the right schedule, because it's very nice when it does, but not holding my breath.
If it's just rain, you can play through rain. And it, yeah, I mean, you can't play through a heavy rain that's going to make the field a mud pit, but you can play through rain. It's the lightning that'll get you. And sometimes the lightning this time of year, you know, I mean, it may not even be raining, but there's lightning, you know, within the vicinity. Yeah. And the way they've got the lightning rules can certainly throw you off schedule.
For sure. I will say softball, it's much better to have this type of issue than baseball, because it's not the same warm-up for pitchers. I mean, like, if you're going to throw somebody and they were already out there throwing an inning and then you're in a delay, they're going to go back out there in a few hours. Like, it's not where your day is toast. But I will say it's going to be one of those weekends that I do think pitching is going to be, like, you could probably say this for any regional, but this is going to be certainly which team pitches the best, in my opinion.
Really, the game to watch today, I think, is Oklahoma State and Indiana. You got Oklahoma State with their stud pitcher on the mound, All-America type, and then Indiana's the best hitting team in the country statistically.
Yeah, that's one of the more intriguing games, I think, of today's entire schedule. I mean, like, you look at all the games in the nation, and I feel like Oklahoma State is one team roughing up their ace, Ruby Malin, away from like it derailing like how they can even handle a regional, because they just don't. They're either going to have her just pitch a flawless almost weekend, or one of their secondary pitchers step up and really put together a solid performance. And I feel like it's one thing to ask your ace in softball to carry you for the better part of three games because you won all three. And she wouldn't, I don't think she'd start all three, but I think you'd see her certainly in all three starting too. It's one thing to ask your ace to do that. The moment you lose a game and get behind on schedule, it's a lot more pressure to ask them to be flawless for five games, for four more games, to try and get you out of a bind. I think that Indiana-Oklahoma State game could be your sneaky upset alert, because Indiana's got the bats. It's
like they're in. Now you got to deal with them.
Exactly. And the thing is, Indiana doesn't have the pitching to make a deep run at all, but like they're facing an offense today in Oklahoma State that – if there's a team that their pitching could beat at this regional, I think it's that Oklahoma State offense. It's not great. I think that Indiana wants this to be, you know, like a 9-6 game or something like that. Oklahoma State's hoping that their ace can shut them down and win in probably like 3-1, 3-2 fashion. I mean, Indiana's got the bats. You look up and down their lineup, and they have, I think, four girls hitting 400 or higher, which is insane. I certainly am expecting today there to be, I think in one of the two games, one of the higher teams is going to at least get a scare. I don't think you're going to have two blowouts today. Mm-hmm. I think Arkansas is better suited to have the blowout today, to be honest. But I just don't think that you look at today's games and one of the lower seeds can't make things interesting.
Arkansas, what's the key to beating St. Louis?
Well, they have one really good hitter, Abby Mallow, who has like 19 home runs and 80 RBI, second in Division I in RBI. But other than that, you look at their lineup, they have Natalie Sullivan's pretty good too. Her average is up. I think she has five triples. But those two are kind of the biggest threats. You just got to kind of handle the rest of the lineup. And then they have two pitchers that are pretty solid. But, I mean, it's one thing to have solid numbers against A-10 teams, and it's another to – you like, what would their ERA be playing in the SEC? I think Arkansas's hitters just got to be ready to kind of bash the ball, to be honest. I think that's how you squeeze the life out of a team like this early. You talk about attacking starting pitching. We talked about that baseball earlier. Arkansas, whenever they played LSU in the last regular season finale series, Sydney Brezon, the LSU ace, she's an All-American. Arkansas roughed up. Got up 8-0 in the first inning against an All-American, and that just set the tone for the rest of that game. I think that they've got to have something today where they don't wait till the third or fourth inning to get things going. I think they need to get going first or second inning, make life really stressful for St. Louis pretty quickly into the game. I think Arkansas is the pitching that they should be able to really limit this team. It's just, are the bats going to wake up and be there, which they have been all year, so.
Big weekend for us here at our website. Of course, baseball with Tennessee. You got the regional. You got SEC outdoor track and field going on this weekend. Christina Long reported on day one. You can read about that on our website right now. Nice night for the Razorback women on day one. They got 16 points in the women's 10,000 last night. Hope that you'll come to our website throughout the weekend, wholehogsports.com. When we come back Monday, Bubba Carpenter will be in studio. We'll talk about the Arkansas-Tennessee series, and by then we'll know what Arkansas's path looks like in Hoover next week. Hope that you have a great weekend. Hope to see you Monday.